Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 102, the stanzas 1-4. In thy wrath and hot displeasure, chasten not thy servant, Lord. Let thy mercy without measure help and peace to me afford. And what follows? Psalter 102, the first four stanzas.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Psalm 62. But first we will read the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Psalm 62. To the chief musician, to Judathan, a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God. for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. DePater, who underwent skin graft surgery in the day of yesterday, Mrs. Emily DeCock, who was in the Calgary Hospital, and Mr. and Mrs. Jonathan and Caitlin Inime, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, thou wast granted in this morning hour that we may arise, that we may see the light of another day. And thou wast granted the privilege that we may come up to thy house. Then we may acknowledge thee for all the blessings, for thy care, for thy provision, for thy protection in the week that lies behind us. Then thou wast watched over us in the home, at work, on the way, wherever we were called to be. Then thou wast yet made a difference with others who were present upon this earth the last Lord's day, and for whom it has become eternity. And what maketh us and our children to differ, because we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God, Lord, may it please thee in this very moment to bind those realities upon all of our hearts. On the one side, thy great goodness and thy patient long-suffering, thy manifold blessings, which cannot be numbered, and over against those blessings are manifold and great sins. May there have come up souls in this morning hour with the prayer, what we have sung together, of a burdened one with a load of his transgression and a need to be pardoned. And then, Lord, in this past week, then a family and the church community was called upon to bring a little daughter to the grave. Then also in this past week, and one of the congregations in our denomination, then a little boy of 2 years old was taken into eternity. May it please thee to remember all the mourning families wilt thou place underneath thy everlasting arms, and may it please thee to comfort out of thy holy word. Wilt thou grant them courage for the way. And, Lord, when thou mayst spare us week after week, may there be times that indeed we may be given to pause and consider all thy goodness, and may it be the goodness of the Lord that leadeth us and our children to that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. And to that end, Lord, then we need the work of thy Holy Spirit in our hearts, that it may bear a good fruit. We humbly beg of thee, that it may please thee in this very hour, that thou may accompany thy holy word with the powerful and irresistible work of thy Holy Spirit, that it may be thy set time, that sinners may be stopped, and that they may be converted by thee unto thee, that they may be placed in their guilt. Wilt thou spare us and our children, that we build not upon sandy foundations? Wilt thou remember thy Zion? Thou knowest who they are. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest their riddles, their questions. Thou knowest their desires. Thou knowest how they have come up in this morning hour, Lord. When those living desires were missing, may it please thee to grant it in thy house, to grant that spiritual appetite, and that that appetite may be satisfied. Thou hast promised in thy holy word, that those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, that they shall be filled. May there be no resting outside of that only rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, and him crucified, who has come upon this earth, that sinners may be saved. We commend unto thee thy church over the length and the breadth of the earth, with all those that may labor therein, thy servants, elders and deacons. Remember the candidate and be mindful of the students. Lord, remember the many temporal needs. Wilt thou remember all the mourning ones, where wombs have been reopened? May the callings be sanctified, that out of the death of loved ones, that dead sinners may be quickened unto eternal life. Wilt thou remember all the sick and all the afflicted, the old mother who underwent surgery in the day of yesterday? We may acknowledge thee that thou wast hitherto wonderfully spared, and thou wast given some improvement. Lord, may it be for the purpose of all purposes, that her soul may be saved. Wilt thou remember her together with her dear husband? We remember the mother in the hospital with grave concerns. Lord, wilt thou remember the mother with the unborn? Wilt thou graciously watch over them? Wilt thou grant prayer to that end, grant an opening at thy throne? Remember her together with her husband, together with the children and the family circle. Wilt thou remember all the mothers with the unborn amongst us? Then thou wast gladdened and blessed, a father and mother, for the first time in their married life, with the birth of a well-born little child. Ah, wilt thou grant them a humble and a broken heart, given to be wonder thy mercies, and ah, Lord, thou knowest that we can be glad, which centers on self and our fellow man. But may it please thee to grant them thy spirit, and that they may taste something of that true thankfulness and their unworthiness, and a true and upright prayer unto thee, the living God, and that it may be a little child born to be born again. O wilt thou remember the grandparents? Lord, remember all under the physician's care. Thou knowest all the pain. Thou knowest all the circumstances, all the concerns, all weaknesses of the body and weaknesses of the mind. Wilt thou surround them with thy care and with thy compassion? Wilt thou grant courage, keep from rebellion? And may all the callings be used, and that sin-sick souls, and that they may come under the care of that heavenly physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they may be saved. Wilt thou remember the crosses, the burdens, the scars? May we be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Ah, Lord, keep us all under the truth, and not only to be kept, but by the work of thy Spirit, virtue, the meritorial work of Jesus Christ, to be given to experience, that the truth may set us free. Wilt thou remember the brother elder in the native language? May he experience thy special help, and to taste something of what he may read, together with the elder that is serving in the branch. Wilt thou also grant thy help to us in this morning hour, ah, Lord? Thou knowest how dependent we are upon thee for absolutely everything. Ah, wilt thou grant Aaron's and hers, among young and old? Wilt thou bless us with thy special presence, with thy special favor, and with thy special that thou art mindful of us and our Lord? What a greater token could thou grant when it would be heard that sons and daughters were born in Zion, but also for thy Zion to be led a step further on the way to Zion. Wilt thou remember all those that could not gather with us to lawful reasons? Grant them a Sabbath day blessing, the elderly ones in the care home and other places. But wilt thou remember all those that have come up? Lord, take away everything that could be a hindrance. We commend unto thee the young couple who were united in holy matrimony in the past week, the first Lord's Day as husband and wife. May it please thee by the work of thy Spirit to make it an unforgettable Lord's Day. Lord, be so mindful of us in this morning hour, and pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 139, the first four stanzas. The mighty God, the Lord, has spoken unto all. From rising to the setting sun, the nations hear his call and what follows. And the collection today is for the Emeritus Fund. Psalter 139, the stanzas 1 through 4. in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention by renewal for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 62, the verses 11 and 12. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Our theme was, God has spoken, with four thoughts. In the first place, God speaking once. In the second place, God speaking twice. In the third place, God's powerful speaking. And in the fourth place, God's merciful speaking. God has spoken once. Then congregation, then the Lord has not only spoken to us once, but in the time that lays behind us, then he has spoken many times in diverse ways. The Lord has spoken by showing a little of his power and majesty in the way of sending a great storm. The week thereafter, different areas have been hit by hail. And yesterday, the third child was brought to the grave in a short time. And in this past week, then in the congregation of St. Catherine's, then a little son of 2 years was ushered into eternity. Thus unto us, congregation, God hath not only spoken once, but he has spoken in so many different ways. May it be our prayer that it may be for the purpose of all purposes. I have read in the time of the Great Awakening, under the ministry of Jonathan Edwards, of course he was only the instrument, then it was the Lord's time to work in a special way, that beginning, that it was traced to a few deaths. A young man suddenly ushered into eternity in an unexpected way, and a young mother who was given to testify of a good hope and received such a liberty to speak to her friends. And then on top of that, the general store burned down, then you shall say, but is that so extra special because more buildings burned down? Ah, that people, the Lord has used it, that they were given to see that the Lord was speaking. And now how necessary, young and old, that we are given to examine each of our hearts. What effect that speaking had. Because our texts speak, God has spoken once, twice hath I heard this. Andrew Gray, a very godly minister, declared to be candidate when he was 19 years old. As boys, that is not so old, 19 years old. and to be declared a candidate for the ministry. His ministry was short. There have been those that have said that, as it were, that he was a spark from heaven. When he was 22 years old, he has told his dear wife that he had a desire to go home. But in a certain sermon, then he has stated that there would come a time over the city of Glasgow, a city in Scotland, that there would be six silent things that would come upon the church. Then he has first mentioned that there would be silent mercies, that the Lord would send many blessings from heaven upon the families in the midst of the congregations, but that it would have no effect, that it would not lead to repentance. Then in the second place, then he has mentioned the means of grace. Of course, the Lord shall continue to gather his church. But then Reverend Gray has stated that there would be a time that under the means of grace, that the Lord would hold himself so quiet, that there would be so few conversions, and that for the people of God, then those further leadings would be so missed. Then in the third place, then he has spoken of silent commands, that the law would still be read, that there would still be instruction, but that there would not be so much obedience and hearkening to the commands of the Lord. In the fourth place, then he has stated that over the city of Glasgow there would come a time that there would also be silent consciences, that they would not speak so much anymore, that the people would have freedom to continue in their sins. Then in the fifth place, then he has spoken there would come a time that there would be silent rods, that the Lord would come with his judgments, and in the life of his children with his chastisements, but that they would have so little effect, that it would not be, as I read in Psalm 119, the verses 67 through 71, where the psalmist was given to say, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray," but that the afflictions has been to his profit. And then in the sixth place, then he has spoken of a silent God. And how is that now with us, congregation? Concerning those 6 points, are there many amongst us, fathers and mothers, of family circles, when we have mentioned those 6 points, mercies, means of grace, the commands, conscience, the rod, and a silent God, that you have to say that that is now my case? Oh, may it please the Lord to come in with the Spirit, and that that second point, that it may be experienced in our hearts. God has spoken once, and twice have I heard this. than we have mentioned a few weeks ago. And that is now the work of the Holy Spirit, when it does not only enter and settle in our mind, of course already a blessing, because we can be so busy with the earthly things that we do not even give it so much thought. That is even sadder yet. But if it only enters our ears, then it shall leave us the same. But now the psalmist, he has said, twice have I heard this. And that takes place, congregation, when the Lord works by His Holy Spirit in the heart of a sinner, then they may experience it by their heart, and then God becomes real, and then their sin becomes real. And that is now necessary for each and every one of us, as we are traveling to eternity, must take place here between the cradle and the grave, that wonder is experienced. But when the psalmist is given to declare God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, then it also has a broader meaning, and it shall be experienced by the people of God. Because when the Lord speaks powerfully unto a child of God through His Word, when He drops a sweet word into their soul, or a word of correction, then the Spirit shall grant faith to embrace it. But then hope comes and says that it is a promise for the future. And then what a way can lie in between that promise and between the fulfillment thereof. And then it is the desire of our text, God has spoken once, that we may hear it twice, that it may be confirmed. And maybe a soul has come up in this morning hour in such a condition, because when the Lord speaks, the Lord has spoken once, then in the first place that awful unbelief that robs the child of God of their comfort. Then in the second place, the devil, who loves to pester the child of God. And when it is not fulfilled, then what an assault and what a questions. Then in the third place, the circumstances, because many a times, because the Lord works in such wonderful ways, His word to fulfill. And then it seems those contrary providences that are even contrary to the promise. And then it is the desire of the child of God that the text words may be fulfilled. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it. Then further, then what a blessing it is when it is granted in the way of meditation. God has spoken once, that the message also in the house of God is not left on the church bench, but that there may be sweet meditations of the same, but also in the way of conviction. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this. The Lord sometime also was pleased to use the word that we have heard in our youth, and that it may come back. That is still encouragement for fathers and mothers who have prodigal sons that are wandering in this day upon the world, or under a false religion, because there is nothing too wonderful for the Lord. On the other hand, my dear young people, let us remember, it is not the ordinary way does not happen so often when we turn our back upon the Lord and upon the truth, that we shall be sought out. But the Lord does it to manifest His free and sovereign grace, and that the prayers may be multiplied. It is recorded of a John Flavel that on a certain Sunday evening, he preached out of 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha." That means, children, let him be cursed. The Lord cometh. And then at the end of that service, then Reverend Flavel has told the congregation that he had no liberty to lay the blessing upon the congregation where there were still so many that were cursed because they loved not the Lord Jesus Christ. And that has made a solemn impression upon a young man of 14 years old called Luke Short. He was born in 1660. A deep impression he went home, that son and his mother. Let us hope that his father had lawful reasons to not come up to the house of the Lord. But what has taken place? That Luke Short, he has become rebellious. He has went to America, received the Bible, but it was seldom opened. And then he has prospered, received a wife, children, a large farm. And he became 100 years old, and the Lord still granted him a certain health that he could labor on his farm. And when Luke Short, when he was 100 years old, oh, may it yet be an encouragement for the elderly ones in our midst, when we are still in the time of grace, but the time is short. And let us add, the Lord converts more in their youth than when we have become old. But when Luke Short, when he was 100 years old, then the Holy Spirit has fulfilled our text. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it. Then that solemn text out of 1 Corinthians 16, verse 22 has returned. Everyone that loveth, any man that loveth not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be cursed. And then he became a cursed sinner, 100 years old. But he was brought to liberty, and the Lord has granted that for 16 years yet, that he was given to declare to his fellow man that there is none too old and none too cold to be saved. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto the Lord. Our third thought, God's powerful speaking. And then concerning that speaking, twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto God. Oh, the Lord manifest His power in the way of creation, the wonderful creation of God. Do we not read in Psalm 19, the verses 1 and 2, that the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth sheweth His handiwork? And the psalmist in Psalm 8, then he is, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy hands, the work of thy fingers, the stars, and the moons which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" Oh, God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, and that power belongeth unto God. That concerns the Lord's divine providence. That the Lord with his all might and his faithfulness and his wisdom, that he upholds this earth till this very moment, that it may continue, that in this morning hour that the sun may still arise. And what is the purpose, congregation? That is because there are still souls that the Lord must speak to. There are still souls that must and shall be gathered, that may receive a place in the sheepfold of Jesus Christ. And when the last one is gathered in, then immediately the King shall appear upon the clouds of heaven. But now the psalmist, when he has said, God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto God. Oh, that power is experienced when the Lord works that supernatural and that wonderful work in the heart of a sinner, because that is such an irresistible work. And there is no one upon the world that can resist that work. We can resist parents, young people, and we hope that you respect your parents. We can disregard the solemn warnings and the loving admonishments of office bearers. But when that Spirit comes, when the Lord comes with his love, and there is not a soul upon this earth, whether we are worldly, whether we are self-righteous, whether we, whoever we are, there is no soul that can withstand the love of God. Then it shall be experienced that power belongeth unto God. Maybe then I hear a soul say, if I only had experienced it in now such a powerful way, maybe as a Manasseh in prison, or as a Saul on the way to Damascus, then I would never doubt, then I could believe it, then I would be included in this morning, because then in such an astonishing way, and that it would be visible to everyone, that power belongeth unto God, because God has spoken twice, I have heard it in my heart, then I would know the time, the place, and then I would never doubt. But let us remember, souls, many times it pleases the Lord to work more in a gradual way, not so quickly. We would say not so powerfully, but it is the same almighty power to change a heart, whether it is suddenly and whether very evident, or whether it is more in a gradual way, even as those that have served the Lord from their youth. But what a powerful work it is, because by nature, then we are all under the power of the devil, the power of our lust, the power of the world. And there is no one upon this earth that can change or break that rebellious and hard heart. And then it shall be experienced, the powerful work of the Lord, irresistible grace. And that is not only personally, but that is also in the gathering of the church. Oh, may that work be more experienced amongst us. May the prayers be multiplied. Think of the day of Pentecost. The power belongeth unto God. Then Christ has said unto the 12 apostles that they must go through all nations, teaching them and baptizing them. What an impossible work the Roman Empire under heathendom, the Jewish people in their self-righteousness. They have cried out, crucify him, crucify him. But is there anything too wonderful for the Lord? Power belongeth unto the Lord. That has been experienced throughout all ages. and that shall be experienced to the end of the earth. The king shall continue to gather his church, irresistible grace. But twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto God. Are there a few souls that have impossibilities, where from human reckoning, human reasoning cannot, but now power belongeth unto God? Of course, we must be careful that we do not make deliverances in the Lord's providence, that we do not make it a ground for our salvation, more is necessary. Nevertheless, when the Lord works, then those wonderful things in providence, they shall be experienced. And the closer and more tender life that a child of God has, the more they shall be seen, the more they shall be recognized, the more they shall be prayed for. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto the Lord. What an examples we have in the Bible. Think children of Joseph, two beautiful dreams. The Lord has confirmed it with that second dream, that his family would bow down unto him. What a blessing it is when also under the youth, the Lord may work by his Spirit. Then Joseph has heard it. He has heard it twice. But now we need the fulfillment of our text, that power belongeth unto God. Because the Lord leads his children in such mysterious and such deep ways. Then children, you know what has happened. What happened with Joseph? Then his brothers have sold him, sent into Egypt, house of Potiphar, and he ended up in prison because of the tender fear of God. Joseph, how was it now with that speaking? Oh, it is true. If we read those chapters of Genesis closely, then we read that the Lord showed him mercy, and that we may believe, because the Lord is not a land of outer darkness, that also for a Joseph in prison, that the Lord has shown that power belonged unto him. Oh, then he has experienced in such a wonderful way. Oh, if we have went into prison and said, Joseph, what do you now think about those dreams? And it was so wonderful that Joseph, he could explain and interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker, but for his own dreams, it was such a mystery. But then Joseph has experienced our text, that power belongeth unto God, that he has all things under control, also the dreams of the king, and to that end he was delivered. Oh, many more examples, even before Joseph. Think of Abraham, called out of the Ur of the Chaldeans with the promise of a seed, and out of that seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. The Messiah would come. And then an Abram was given to embrace that promise, because God has spoken once, twice have I heard it. It was not only with his mind, it was by the work of the Spirit, that he may embrace it by true saving faith. But then for an Abram, then it was necessary. Oh, did an Abram not know it with his mind, who the Lord was? Of course, he did not have the Bible, but the Lord has spoken to him different times. We shall not speak about the atheist in this morning, also in the life of a child of God. But now when Abram, The Lord has spoken once, twice have I heard it. Then I read in Genesis 15 that the Lord has said unto Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Oh, maybe souls that say, if the Lord would only speak such a word to my soul, then I would be the happiest person in the whole congregation. Because that shield and that reward that points to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what did an Abram say? Lord, I knowest that power belongeth unto thee, Lord. What wilt thou give me? My servant, that Eliezer, he shall become my heir. And then the Lord has spoken. And then the Lord said, Abram, look now into the sky and try to number the stars. Power belongeth unto God. Oh, it has been experienced by the saints in the scripture so many times. Numbers 11, when that people have murmured, and then the Lord has said that they would be fed with flesh, and then a Moses. Oh, a child of God learns that they are so dependent upon that power, the power of the Spirit to embrace what the Lord has spoken unto them. Also, when the ways become so difficult, and when the ways go through deep waters, but power belongeth unto God. And then even when a Moses has said, shall then all the flocks be slain, and the fish got out of the sea, and then the Lord has said, power belongeth unto God. Is the Lord's arm shortened, that it cannot save? Thou shalt see that my word shall come to pass. Oh, when we study the Bible, then we read each time of that power that belongeth to God. Ah, for a waiting church, for the promise of the coming of the Messiah. And when there was no prophet, we do not read in the scriptures the last 400 years of a speaking prophet. Then it has become so quiet, it has become so silent. But God has spoken once. Shall I say it, and shall I not do it? Shall the Lord command it, and shall he not finish it? Oh, then in that fulfillment, then the angel Gabriel has come to Mary. And then the Lord has spoken to that young virgin. Is there anything impossible for the Lord? The Lord has said unto Mary, the Lord has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongeth unto God. Our forethought, God's merciful speaking, but let us first sing. Of Psalter 423, the stanzas 1 and 4. Jehovah reigns as King, to him all homage bring. Ye islands, earth and ocean, break forth in glad devotion. And what follows, 423, 1 and 4. God has spoken. A God speaking once. A God speaking twice. God's powerful speaking. And now fourthly, a God's merciful speaking. And then we read in verse 12, also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. If we only have power and justice, there have been dictators upon the earth. Think of Hitler. We could mention many others. What a terrible thing it is to live under such a regime. But now the psalmist has experienced with the Lord speaking that he is not only powerful, he was given to experience the wonderful work of the Lord in the beginning, also in the way of deliverance and providence. But the church of God also needs pardon. And then the psalmist may add also, and that the church shall learn already in beginning, when that love is shed abroad in the heart, that unto the Lord belongeth mercy, then they shall be conquered, the bridge to the world shall be taken up. But now for the comfort of the child of God, and not only to learn that the Lord is powerful in his wisdom and in his faithfulness, but that they are given to learn the foundation of that mercy. And that is only through the mediatorial work of Jesus Christ in the state of his humiliation in the way of meriting. Oh, therein lies declared that there is mercy and pardoning for the chiefest of sinners, but also in the state of exaltation, that they are not only to be led into those mysteries, but that it may be applied. Also unto thee belongs mercy. Then when we think, congregation, of the storm which the Lord has sent a few weeks ago, then also our text is being fulfilled. That power belongeth unto God, but also unto thee belongeth mercy. Where the Lord is spared from death, where he is spared from injury. And then further, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. And the life of the children of God, that reward is in the way of grace, as is described in our Heidelberg Catechism. And for the wicked and for the unconverted, then it is in the way of wages, because they read in Romans 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And now for a moment, congregation, let us turn in unto ourselves with all the powerful and special speaking of the Lord in the time that lies behind us. Reverend Smeitekelt, he has stated in a sermon, when it is well, then there must be three applications. Then in the first place, the minister is called upon to lay it close to the heart. In the second place, then the hearers are to examine each their hearts concerning the message they have heard. And then in the third place, the necessity of the application of the Holy Spirit. God has spoken once. Twice have I heard it, and now young and old. What effect has it had on our hearts and on our lives? Then in the first place, let me ask you, has it now made at least a little impression that you had an impression of the greatness, the majesty, the power of the Lord, but also with the death of four young children in such a young time, the necessity of that one thing needful, or have we been so hardened that it has not made any impression? Boys and girls, how has it been when you have heard that other children were taken away? And then in this morning, you may still sit in God's house, and young people and older ones, when we have heard of those little children, and surely we have sinned more than those little children, more years upon the earth. Have you then thought, "Ach, Lord, I have committed so many more sins, and thou hast still left me in the land of the living, and it has pleased thee to take those little children away"? Then further, fathers and mothers, then in this speaking, then the Lord has granted you a special occasion. Of course, we must not always preach to our children, but especially when there are those special happenings with storms and with death, then the Lord grants a special opportunity that you may be given to speak to your family, to your children, of whom the Lord is, and of that one thing needful. Has that not taken place, families? Have there been those times in the past weeks that you were gathered together in fathers as head of your households, but also as mothers when you were home with your little children? Then what a beautiful opportunity, occasion to speak to your children that we have no continuing city, and that little children can also die, and then the necessity of a new heart. Further, when the Lord has spoken with a storm, with a death, for little children in such a short time, have there been maybe farmers when in a moment you saw your crop destroyed, that it came to you, "I have made too much an idol of my farm"? And the Lord is speaking, because I hear it every Sabbath day, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Oh, what a narrow line. We are called to have our heart in our work, but we must not set our heart upon it. Have there been a few when they have seen their crops, maybe part of a building destroyed, that you were given to be wonder, that it were only material things, and that you may still have a dear wife, husband, and children? Has it ever come in some hearts that they thought, "Ach, Lord, I have made now such an idol of my beautiful wife, of my fair husband, of my children"? Have there then been parents that have thought in the past week, "What a wonder that we may still all be together"? Also on the Lord's Day morning, that we may still go all, that we may still have a place, that there is not an empty place. Has that been in the past weeks? Or do we not have any idols? Oh, have there been people that had to confess with an Ezra in Ezra 9 verse 13, thou wast not punished us as our sins deserve? Then further, when the Lord speaks in those special ways, in different ways, has there been no repentance of forsaking of our sins, of our world conformity? Have there been families that there has been house cleaning, closets, things that do not belong, clothing, music, technology? Has that now taken place? Because the Lord surely has something to say. And when the Lord speaks in such special ways, and if there is no turning, no repentance, do we not read in Acts 19 what the Ephesians, that they have lit a very large farmer with fire with all those books of magic and other things that do not go together with Christianity? The Lord has spoken once. And how has it been with all us that were not affected? Have there been, maybe been a few farmers where they saw the storm going by, looked across the fence, the farmer's field destroyed, and my field still beautiful? Have then there been a few farmers that have made a vow, that have said, Lord, now a portion of my crop shall be for thee? Because the Lord does not give all our prosperity all for ourselves, for our families, but also for the poor and for the coming of his kingdom. Think of Father Jacob in Genesis 28. After a Bethel, that night where he was not devoured by the animals, but where the Lord has given that revelation of that ladder that pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, then he has received such an impression of the goodness of the Lord that he vowed, he says, Lord, if I may return, a tenth shall be for thee. Has that now happened in the past weeks? When the Lord has bypassed us with a storm, when the Lord has spared all the lives in our family circles, has there been a little impression of his goodness and what we deserve? And then with a liberal heart, Lord, what maketh me to differ? Because I am a greater sinner than my neighbor, can be multiplied out, and thou giveth me so much. Do those things, have those things happened, congregation, in the past weeks? Or has the time come of which Andrew Gray has spoken about, that city in Scotland, that there would be six silent things? I hope that it may be different, that there may still be deep and solemn impressions that the Lord is speaking. Has there still been a few souls that it has been a wonder that the Lord is still speaking in the way of callings and in judgments, that he is speaking, my son, my daughter, give me thy heart. God has spoken once, twice have I heard it. And we have seen when the Lord sends a great storm that we need a hiding place. And we read in our text, but also unto thee belongeth mercy. Oh, the abundant mercy of the Lord for us, church. May we be concerned that we may belong to that people. And for that people I read in Psalm 91 verse 9, he that dwelleth under the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Amen. Let us close. Our Lord, may it please thee to use all the callings for the eternal welfare of us and our dear children. Leave us not untouched, where thou can also say unto us, what more could have I done to my vineyard that I have not done unto it? But, ach, Lord, thou knowest that if thou doth not come over, if thou doth not come down, then there shall be nothing that shall change our heart, and therefore by renewal we beg of thee. O wonder-doing God, wilt thou stretch out thy powerful arm, and may sinners be converted, and wilt thou remember thy people? Ah, they can also be so far from their place, that as a David they built their Ziklag, and thou had to burn it down. That a David by renewal may come on the right place. Lord, watch over us and our children in these solemn days. Wilt thou remember us in the furtherance of this day? May we be given to keep the Sabbath day holy. Bring us together in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 221, the stanzas 2 and 3. O haste, Lord, to hear us and pity our woes. Affliction our portion, despised by our foes. O Lord God Almighty, in mercy restore, and we shall be saved when thy face shines once more. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a school opening prayer service this coming Thursday evening at 7 p.m. in Lethbridge with Reverend E.C. Adams officiating. And the Learning and Living magazine is at the exit. Psalter 221, 2 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.